T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky with the Bull and the Fox. Dan, how you doing? What's going on, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty well. You know, it's been another crazy season, drama-filled, and not a lot of wins for the Browns. But we can finally see the forest through the trees here. It looks like you got the right GM. Even though there's been some ups and downs, it looks like you probably have the right quarterback. You got a cornerstone pass rusher. You got a cornerstone cornerback. So some of the pieces are in place. But obviously now, Dan, they've got to find the right head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate how obviously the first 2 months have kind of transpired with so much positivity that's there. It is just an example of, you know, how difficult it is to consistently win in the NFL and consistently be a good organization, and how all the parts matter and every piece has to kind of work together. And so, you know, I agree with you that at least you've got a general manager that is proven. And, you know, I said this past week, or maybe last week, I go on Get Up every morning and rave about them and how good they are and the talent. Well, the guy that built them is in the Cleveland Browns building every day. So, you know, that you can't understate or undervalue that.
Yeah, we were watching that game on Sunday thinking, man, the Chiefs are so good. But yeah, our guy drafted Kareem Hunt. Our guy drafted Kelce and Mahomes. I mean, the most important position, quarterback, he drafted Pat Mahomes, and he drafted Baker Mayfield, so it should give us some hope. How far do you think the Browns are away from being a contender, a team that could compete for the wild card or the division?
Yeah, I don't think that far. I mean, there's been games this year that, how many games this year came literally down to being the difference of a single play?
Four overtime games.
Yeah, so, you know, you can tell. Here's the thing in the NFL, and Dustin can speak to this a little bit too. As close as you are, you're still that far. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, as close as you can be, there's such a small variance between winning and losing in the NFL, and not only doing it for a month or something, but really trying to do it game after game after game. And the truth is there's 27, 28 teams that don't do it the right way, or 26 teams that don't do it the right way, and there's 6 that laugh at everybody else. And so as far away as it may feel, it's closer than I guess the record can dictate. And so it's about getting – the most important person in the organization is the head coach until you get your quarterback, and then they become the most important person. So I believe, and I've been outspoken about this, and I'm sure you guys have, that the Browns have their quarterback. Now they need to go find the coach. And the biggest thing is the coach can't just be about Baker. I truly believe that. It can't just be about Baker Mayfield, because it has to be about the Browns organization top to bottom.
It's a good point. Dan Orlovsky with us, former NFL quarterback. Dan, when you look at Baker specifically this year, obviously, as is the case with most rookie quarterbacks, there's been some highs, been some lows. Not loaded with a lot of talent at wide receiver outside of Jarvis Landry, but he does have a good backfield. The offensive line's been a little shaky. How would you say he has played? What would your overall, I guess, grade or thoughts be about his play this season?
Yeah, I would categorize his play as like unsettled in a way, where, you know, I feel like what I'm watching is a kid go up to the plate in a baseball game playing against major league pitchers, and he's been given a wiffle ball bat. That's how I feel. Like, and it's almost like watching Aaron Judge do it. We're like, I know the kid's good. I know he's really good, and I know he's super talented because you see glimpses of it. But there's just stuff that is handcuffing him, whether it's the drama, whether it's the lack of coaching, whether it's the, you know, the situation he gets put in, whether it's been the, you know, the whole off season, how training camp was handled. I feel like I'm watching a dude that's super talented, that's going to be one of the better players in the league, but he's been given a wiffle ball bat. And so it's you watch the you know, I've been, you know, one of the things that I've loved about his game is I felt like his body matched his mind really quickly. And, you know, you just don't see, you don't see the Browns and the staff equipping him to be the weapon that he's able to be, equipping him to be able to do the things that he's capable of doing, and asking him to be the quarterback that he can be. And so, you know, I know it kind of ties into what's happened with the coaching staff. I feel like I'm watching a kid go, you guys don't have any idea of who I am, like of what I am. Stop asking me to be somebody I'm not.
Mm. I don't disagree at times. I mean, I think things open up a little bit more this past weekend with Freddie Kitchens, you know, taking over the offensive coordinator role and sort of asking Baker. And I suggested this when they fired Hugh. I said, if I'm Freddie, I'm going to Baker and saying, what do you like? What are you comfortable with? What makes you feel good about going into the game?
And all
the
throwing to Duke Johnson.
Yeah, and all the other stuff, I scrap. Get it out of here. You know, you're a rookie, right? I mean, do a few things well.
Here's my thing with that.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with that. And I think that, you know, as fans, in a way, you know, and I hear this a lot. People will point to, man, look at Sean Payton or look at Sean McVay or look at Matt Nagy. And, you know, we got to get creative. We got to get creative. And my only thing would be this. And I use this analogy, and my point is, I can go onto YouTube and I can go watch a bunch, and I could type in dance videos, and I could go watch a bunch of dance videos. No matter how much I watch those videos, I can't dance. I can't do it. I can't teach it. I have no feel for it. It's the same thing with offensive play calling. Those coaches and Freddie Kitchens could watch these other offenses, and you could watch them get super creative. That doesn't mean you could be that. That doesn't mean you know how to coach it. That doesn't mean you know how to teach it or when to call it. And so definitely going to Baker and going, what are you comfortable with? You want to do, but I don't know if Freddie Kitchens knows how to call, how to design, how to dial up what Baker's comfortable with, because what Baker's comfortable with is the stuff that we see Andy Reid run and the stuff that we see Sean Payton run and Matt Nagy run. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if he can truly get to where Baker's going to be up at bat with a Louisville slugger in his hand.
Is there anything Baker can do to help Freddie understand what he is good at, though? I mean, I don't know. You played the position. I didn't. I'm a defensive guy, so I'm actually learning from you.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely communicate. You know, you could communicate to the coaches, I love this stuff, and you know, to be honest with you guys, so I was down in Tampa Bay. Gosh, this is 2012. We had Josh Freeman playing quarterback for us. He had issues, so we drafted this kid named Mike Glennon, and out of North Carolina State, and Glennon's forced to play, and our coordinator's just calling our offense the way he's calling it. And I'm, you know, Mike Glennon's struggling, and I go to our coordinator and say, guys, you guys have to go back to college and find out all the stuff that he did in college well, and then we need to go contact their college and ask them all the deviations of it. And our coaches were like, nah, I'm not going to do that. So I literally spent 48 hours watching all of North Carolina State's tape and picking out the 8 things that he did really well. And then I called O'Brien and Dana Bible, because they had recruited me, and I called them and said, give me some stuff on these plays that were important. How did he read it? What was your guys' progression? We put together this package of plays that Mike was going to run. Long story short, Mike goes on to, you know, finish second in offensive rookie of the year balloting and played really good football. And my point is this. Go to Baker. Ask him the stuff and go, Baker, tell me the stuff you loved at Oklahoma. I don't care about the stuff you love right now that we do. I don't care about that. I want a coach's job is to put his players in positions to be successful. And so tell me what you loved at Oklahoma. Give me your 7 favorite, your 8 favorite things at Oklahoma. Go watch the tape on it. Watch the tape with Baker and reach out and call them. Reach out and call them. What's the worst thing that they say? No. Okay, I tried. You know, so that's the thing that Baker can do is watch with them, and then those coaches got to go the extra yard.
You know, that is really great insight, Dan, and it really kind of blew my mind a little bit, because it makes such obvious sense. And yet I hear Hugh Jackson get interviewed on FS1 with Skip Bayless, and they asked him flat out, did he call Lincoln Riley to get some advice on what to run? And he said, no, I just watched the tape, but I didn't talk to Lincoln Riley. And then Greg Williams this past week says, you know, I know Freddie Kitchens is new to play calling, but it's really not that big a deal. So when you have the two head coaches this year kind of going against what you just said, which seems so obvious that a head coach would do it, now that you bring it up to us, maybe that's part of the reason we are where we are.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, you know, I don't know Hugh Jackson. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, bash any. But the fact that you don't do that is either incredibly egotistical or incredibly lazy. I mean, I just, that makes no sense. Why would you, again, you're taking a guy that's different. You're taking a guy that is different. And so you have to do everything you can. And I said this way back in June. I'm sure so many other guys, other people did. Find, you know, you got to go transfer some of this stuff over. And the fact that you didn't do that, I don't care how much tape you watched. You don't know how it's taught. You don't know the intricacies of it. You don't know, hey, against this coverage, did you read it this way? Oh, what about if you brought this pressure? How did you handle this blitz? What about how did you guys go about it in a three-man front versus a four-man front? Teach me so I can teach the kid that came from you and help him be as good as he can. And then the fact that, I don't know, you know, Coach Greg Robinson, but it's not that big a deal. Like, you're a billion-dollar company. Everything you do is a big deal. You're a billion-dollar company.
Right.
Every single thing that you do, you mean the Patriots don't think it's a big deal? Or the Steelers don't think it's a big deal? Everything they do is a big deal. It's a billion-dollar company. And yeah. There's a reason why there's 32 people on the planet that get paid $1 million plus a year to call plays. Mm. It's a big deal.
Dan Orlovsky is with us. Dan, speaking of quarterback play, Patrick Mahomes was in here last week, and we talked a little bit about it already here because, you know, obviously John Dorsey drafted him and their other key players. He looks so great right now. But when a quarterback's in his first year, I know he was a rookie last year, but it's his first year really playing. I try not to get too carried away when a guy looks too good or even if he looks bad because it's the first year. We've seen quarterbacks look good and go downhill, look bad, and make huge jumps like Jared Goff. Is Patrick Mahomes the next great superstar quarterback, or is he good and he's just a product of coaching and talent around him?
He's the next great superstar quarterback.
Okay.
And I could tell you two reasons why. Other than, yes, they've got weapons, and other than Andy Reid, right? Tell you two reasons why. One, he's, and other than the talent, he's playing quarterback. And what I mean by that is watch the little things he does about playing the position, whether he runs the line of scrimmage, gets them into the right place, or understands, like, I'm a big person that at the line of scrimmage, there is every play presents a problem and an opportunity. That's processing information. You have to know what the problem of your play is, and then the opportunity of your play. And so all the great quarterbacks know those two things on every single play. If there's a protection problem, if there's a coverage, sometimes coaches call plays and the defense will line up, and Dustin can tell you this, where the defense lines up and you go, well, this play sucks versus coverage.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's a problem. Okay, how do I take this play that's a bad play and not make it a worse play? But then you get to the line of scrimmage sometimes and the defense will line up and you go, whoa, here we go. There's an opportunity for me to go get to gut you. And watch, Mahomes understands that. And I could tell just by the way he works his eyes, the way he moves his eyes, knowing I've got to take that guy and move him somewhere and then I have my opportunity. Then there's my big play. And so, you know, for that reason, he's the next great quarterback. And then the second thing that, you know, stands out to me is, you know, I was around Peyton and Matt Schaub when he was playing, you know, MVP-level football for the Texans 10 years ago, and Matthew Stafford. You know, these really good to great quarterbacks, they don't have a memory. They don't have, whether they're balling and lighting the world on fire or they stink, they don't have a memory. And I go back to the Sunday night game against the Patriots. We didn't play great in the first half and threw a pick late in the red zone that was stupid. And so many quarterbacks, whether they're 10-year vets, or second-year guys are going to come out in the second half and be conservative with the football. Third play of the game, or the third play of the half, after that rough first half, he scrambles and throws a rope down the sideline for a touchdown to Kareem Hunt. And I was like, well, he's not wired like that. Yeah. So, you know, to have those traits are just so rare.
Dan Orlovsky is our guest. And by the way, Dan's doing a terrific job as an ESPN college football analyst. You can catch him Saturday night on ESPN2 on the call for Miami, Georgia Tech. I've loved watching Dan. I I caught you the last couple Thursdays and Fridays. You're all over the place, killing it. But let's wrap it up with this little college football question. Number one is, can anybody beat Alabama? And are you happy with the four-team playoff system as it's constituted right now?
I'll answer the second. I like the four-team playoff because when I watch college football, I want to watch heavyweight against heavyweight. Mm-hmm. I watch college basketball for the Cinderella story. So I like that. I know there's variables that are challenging and it's unfair at times, or, you know, the UCFs of the world. I get that. And eventually it's going to change. That's just cyclical. But I do like the 14 for heavyweight versus heavyweight. I think the low-hanging fruit answer, the easy answer, is like, no one could beat Alabama. And that's probably 98% justifiably true. But I could tell you, Clemson is way closer to Alabama than Clemson is to Notre Dame. They're way closer to Alabama than they are to Notre Dame. The move to Trevor Lawrence was made not because they wanted to be good, was because Dabo Swinney asked himself, can I beat Alabama with Kelly Bryant? The answer was no. Can I beat Alabama with Trevor Lawrence? The answer is yes. He's that good. They've got so many athletic weapons on the field. They've got the best defensive line in football. And so Clemson can do it. They've got the coach and the culture to do it. Notre Dame, I like, they're certainly deserving of being a top four team. They've got the triplets. They've got a dominant offensive line. The team for me that I put my eyes on in person, and I love Michigan. I love them. Their defense is mean. I mean,
they finally going to beat Ohio State this year, Dan? Sorry to cut you off, but
I believe they're going to drum Ohio State.
Wow.
Here's the thing about Michigan defensively. They could rush four and get home. That is such a big deal because then you deploy seven in coverage. Second, they play man because they want to, not because they have to. So many defenses play man because they have to, because they have to blitz to get pressure. Not Michigan. And then their top four weapons on offense pass-wise are 6'4", 6'3", 6'3", and 6'8". I mean, that is grown men size. And so Ohio State's just got so many issues of, you know, their culture. You know, their identity as a football team doesn't look like the team that's been running the ball and stopping the run. And so I expect Michigan to handle them.
Dan, great insight, man. We really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.